Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and I've got three guests in studio with me right now. We're going to be talking about the Scott Helmer concert, which is happening tonight at the Calumet Theater. Laura Miller, who is the executive director of the Calumet Theater, is here to talk about that, as well as Roger Woods, who is a board member for the Copper Country Humane Society, and Rebecca Crane, the executive director for Dial Health. And this is a very important concert because all three of these organizations are going to be benefited from Scott Helmer coming here. So first, let me welcome all of you to the program.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. Laura, let's go ahead and just start with you because, you know, Scott Helmer has got quite a pretty good resume of performing.
You know, this guy's really an interesting sort. He started the Support Your Cause tour actually the end of 2014, and he had spent the entire 2015 traveling across the United States trying to raise $1 million for good causes. And the good causes are all things that various nonprofits have come up with. So this guy has spent an enormous amount of time and money raising money for the nonprofit causes, and he doesn't charge anything for his performance fee. So all of the ticket prices that are charged will go 100% to the nonprofits. So we're real happy about that. And this guy is going to be a real nice acoustic guitar performer, which will be a perfect fit for the Calumet Theater stage. This guy will be doing about a 90-minute show, and it'll have some rock and country favorites, and he's also got some favorites of his own that he's going to be singing.
Now, would people know, you know, of Scott Helmer, or maybe people he's performed with?
You know, I don't know if they're going to know him personally. This guy has been an opener for some big acts that people would be familiar with. Heart, Eddie Money, Three Doors Down. So he has been an opener for those types of shows. I don't know that he's ever gone on his own to do something other than what he's doing for all of our nonprofits.
I've heard a few clips of some of his music, and you know, the best way to kind of describe it, if you like any kind of upbeat music, whether it's rock or country, you're going to enjoy the show.
That's very true. It's very upbeat, very energetic, very positive.
And now, some people may be familiar with, you know, this concert has been coming for a while. It's been postponed a couple of times. It's happening tonight. As far as what you've heard, how is everything going on his camp?
Very, very good. You know, back in December, we had to cancel the 27th date because he actually damaged his vocal cords. But he is back in full form right now, and he's very much looking forward to arriving.
Have you ever talked to him? Do you know why this is important to him to do this kind of a tour that's just really strictly a fundraising tour?
Well, the only thing, I've had a very brief conversation with him. Evidently, this guy worked in corporate insurance for many years and built his own company. And then when the economy had this huge turndown some years back, his business failed. And as a result of his business failure, then his family left him. And so his whole world kind of turned upside down. My understanding is that he was a young musician, started playing drums, I guess, when he was about 5 years old, went into acoustic guitar after that, and always enjoyed writing his own music and performing, but it was always just a hobby. So when his business failed and the economy turned down and kind of lost everything that he had worked so hard for, he decided to kind of put his heart into something that he loved, which was writing music and performing music. And he wanted to get started somehow, and so he decided, evidently he must have had some money in the background, although he doesn't say that, but he wanted to share his music with the world and help support other causes as well. And so I think this is just his way of kind of giving back to people and to the country, because he was a very big business entrepreneur at one time, and maybe he felt he needed to turn his life around. Mm.
Well, there are three organizations represented here on Copper Country today who are going to be benefiting from this concert. As Laura has explained, that Scott Helmer is not collecting the money from the tickets, and you're not charging for coming to play there. So all the money is going to be then divided up between these three organizations, the Calumet Theater, the Copper Country Humane Society, and Dial Help. So, Rebecca, let's start with you. Dial Help, people may be familiar, I'm sure, driving downtown Houghton. Thankfully, most people have never had to call Dial Help. So what kind of services do you do?
I think most people know us for our crisis line. We also do crisis texting. We do instant messaging. And people can actually walk into our facility 24 hours a day without an appointment if they want more of a face-to-face crisis support, or if they're looking for referrals. So we've been doing that since 1971. We're actually celebrating our 45th anniversary this year. but we do a lot of other things too that people might not be aware of. If anyone's been a victim of crime in the community, we specialize in sexual assault, but it could be any type of crime. We actually offer a whole comprehensive set of services for free, including counseling, advocacy, court accompaniment, a lot of different things like that. For decades, we've been doing substance abuse prevention in schools. And we also do intensive family support to really try to eliminate and prevent child abuse and neglect in the home.
And what's the size of the area that you serve?
Well, with our crisis line, we actually serve the entire UP. For our other face-to-face services where we are in schools or with families, those are in Houghton, Baraga, Keweenaw, and Ontonagon counties.
The money that would come from this concert, do you have something specific in mind that you'd like to, you know, to use it for?
Ironically, we're Dial Help and we need a new phone system.
Oh, so, is that right?
Yeah, so this will actually help us quite a bit. And so,
You know, we've looked into a new phone system here at the radio station. They're not cheap. It's not like going up and buying a phone from, you know, Walgreens.
That's correct. Yeah, you need a whole system and you need a backup to it and, you know, all kinds of things. And so we've been getting along as best we can, but that's kind of on our wish list. We really need something that's new and updated. And So I said the irony's there, but that's something we really are focusing on this year to try to get that done. So,
and central to what you do, because especially with like the crisis hotline, you don't want people getting dropped phone calls.
Correct.
trying to come in because the chances of them calling back might not be very good. But the people are going, you know, they know the crisis hotline because we, you know, we talk about that a whole lot.
Yeah.
And you mentioned all these other programs, you know, that maybe people aren't so familiar with.
Right.
Just talk about, you know, how you use them to be able to make a difference here.
Oh, I mean, that's, I guess, endless. You know, we are open 24 hours in terms of people calling us or contacting us in different ways. But when people are in crisis because they've been a victim of crime, they've been sexually assaulted, or something else has happened, we also have 24-hour crisis mobile teams that go out. So we actually are all on pagers. And the police will actually, even if it's not a crime-related thing, if there's been a tragedy in the community, usually there's loss of life, something significant has happened, they'll ask us to come out and we'll send out 2, 3, sometimes 5 people to go to the scene, you know, work with people who've survived whatever the tragedy is. We go with the sheriff's department when they deliver death notifications to stay back if the family prefers us to give them whatever assistance we can until other family members and friends arrive. So all of these things we tend to do under the radar. So we not only do it through our phone lines, but we actually go out into the community and provide that crisis support too. So
where does your funding normally come apart from a fundraiser like this?
Well, we do have some state funding. We have a little bit of federal funding. More recently, we've gotten funding from foundations. But, you know, the fundraising part has always been the core of it because a lot of those grants will cover the service, but they don't cover everything. Like, for example, a new phone system is not built into the type of funding that we get. So fundraising is incredibly important to keep us alive and doing what we do.
Rebecca, we'll be coming back to you. Mm-hmm. But first, I want to bring in Roger Woods, who hasn't had a chance to speak yet, from the Copper Country Humane Society. Again, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
We love the Humane Society. Our radio station partners with you guys quite often, and we're always happy to stick a camera your way whenever we can, or either it's getting a little kitten adopted or to the 12 dogs of Christmas, whatever we can do to help. Then that's partly because we know that, unlike maybe Dial Help, but you guys aren't, you know, you don't benefit from all that state and federal funding.
Right. We do have a little bit of funding that comes from the counties because we do serve as essentially their pound for Baraga, Keweenaw, and Houghton counties based on the number of animals that we end up getting in terms of whether the sheriff or an individual brings them in. But the vast majority of our funding comes from donations and fundraisers. We don't have that state line of money that comes to support us.
Now, we know you as what we refer to as a no-kill shelter. What does that mean?
Well, let's start with, first, we serve as the pound for the three counties. So if a stray animal is brought in, there's legal requirements in terms of the number of days that we hold them based on whether or not they have any identification or if they have a collar. and we hold them on behalf of the counties, try to find their owner as best we can. And we've done quite a bit of work, which I'll touch on a little bit later, related to that. And then once that time is up, if the owner is not found and not claimed, then it becomes that animal then becomes part of the Copper Country Humane Society and becomes our responsibility. And then our goal is to adopt that animal out for its forever home. And as long as it takes to find that home, we will keep that animal and take care of its welfare and feed it and make sure everything's clean and try to find opportunities to get a home for that animal.
Now, at any given time, you're caring for up to a couple of dozen dogs and then, you know, two or three times that in a number of cats, not always there at the shelter. You've got a very interesting foster care system working.
There are sometimes especially needs associated with kittens and puppies. Those can be sometimes difficult to handle in a shelter environment and gives an opportunity for them to get socialized in a home environment. So we do have a network of people that serve as foster homes in those situations, and it's a great opportunity to involve the community, and it really makes a connection to the people and the animals. And we find that then they become very helpful in terms of finding homes for those animals with their network as well, beyond the network that we have as Humane Society.
Now, also with, you know, a source of funding is really your donor base, those that support the Humane Society. You know, I picture, you know, somebody who takes that to heart, that they want to support the Humane Society. You know, that they're lovers of animals and they just, you know, this is... you would be hard-pressed to find people who don't think the Humane Society is a good organization to support. And I think you get, like, loyalty from those donors who, you know, will do whatever they can to support you.
You're right. One of the things when we look at our yearly filings for taxes is we have to look at the donors, the number of donors and the quantity of the donors. And I think a lot of this is based on very different organizations that can't be controlled by one or two donors. We don't even come close to hitting some of the requirements of reporting because we have hundreds and almost 1,000 different people that will donate anything from $5 a month to maybe we get $1,000 or $2,000 at various times of the years. But it's not really driven by one individual, but instead by a whole community. And it's not just this community, but people that have been touched. Maybe they were a dog walker when they were in college, or one of their family members had wonderful animals from there, and they want to honor them. And so they send in donations from all over the country and all over the world.
I do love your opportunities for volunteers. You know, if my daughter has been one where, you know, when she's in like 9th, 10th grade, going there to either walk a dog or to pet cats, and you know, and you think, oh, that's, you know, what a kind of a, you know, nominal way to volunteer, but those cats are lonely. Those dogs need to be walked, and so it's an essential service to taking care of those animals.
I was just looking recently, we're looking at some strategic planning, and the number of different people and the number of people that come on our open days is really kind of staggering. And yes, we're lucky compared to some of the other organizations that we have something that people can really interact with that is part of our core mission, and that's the dogs and the cats.
So participating in the Scott Helmer concert, how will you benefit?
Well, this was a great opportunity because this is a time of the year that we don't have a lot of activities going on in terms of defined fundraisers. So this really made a lot of sense for us. And I think as we look at our strategic plan, very similar to Dial Help, our situation is we've been in our shelter for a little over 12 years or so. And we're starting to look at some of the equipment and some of the things that just really need to be replaced and updated. We run a 24/7 facility that needs to meet very strict codes related to government, in terms of air quality, things like that. That requires a lot of redundant equipment, a lot of things that just sort of wear down, and we need to really look at that. So I think this is part of going forward with what that equipment replacement, some of the updates that we need to do for things that are just starting to wear out.
All right, Roger, we'll be right back to you. I also want to talk to Laura Miller again here. We covered about, you know, who Scott Helmer is and what's he coming here to do. How's the Calumet Theater going to benefit from this?
Well, our money is going to go toward our elevator project. We started our project about almost 2 years ago now, and it's a huge project for us. Of course, we've already put a new roof in and a new furnace on, so we're fortunate that the building is pretty sound. But the problem that we have is we have a beautiful ballroom and a beautiful balcony, and our older folks just can't get there anymore. A lot of population would love to be able to watch even a concert from the second floor, and they just can't get there. So we're going to try very hard to get this elevator in within the next 5 years, but it cost our estimates on it from different engineering firms and the elevator companies are $265,000 to $300,000. We've got about $120,000 in our fund so far, thanks to donations from a lot of different people throughout the community and a foundation here or there. But every little bit helps. And so this fundraiser for us will help, will go into our fundraising efforts for our elevator. And we want to let people know that anybody that gives a $25 donation or more gets a Lift Us Up button that they can wear to show their support of that project.
Where would the elevator go?
Well, if you're familiar with the Calumet Village lobby, which is the lobby that is accessed by the ramped sidewalk area when you go into the large building, it's going to go in the area where I'm going to call it the ladies' restroom, the larger of the two unisex restrooms. And it's going to take up a small portion of the fireman's space behind that. So when you walk into that lobby where the village offices are on the left, you're going to be able to see that elevator.
Oh, that's the ladies' restroom? Oh, no, I've been using the wrong one all these years.
Well, I'm calling it the ladies' only because it doesn't have a particular appliance in it on the wall.
Oh, enough said there. Now, will the elevator be able to, keep with the Calumet Theater sort of historic appearance, or will it be a modern elevator?
Well, our hope is that it will look like a historic elevator. That's part of the huge cost difference when you look at $265,000 to $300,000. The extra money just to make it look old, it has to be done. And we want it to look as original, if there was such a thing in the day, as possible. It will fit in with the decor of the building. We've been consulting with the Historic National Park and their architects to guide us in that direction.
Is it the requirement that you would normally have to have an elevator? Was it sort of like grandfathered in that you don't have one?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's been a problem for some time getting up to the ballroom.
Yes, but it seems more and more so. You know, we have our monthly Club Indigo, which has a core group of about 40 people. And those folks, you know, we have had Club Indigo going for 22 years now. We've started an annual gala fundraiser, and that started about a half a dozen years ago. And the majority of the people that partake in Club Indigo and the annual gala are retirement age folks. And, of course, as they get older in their retirement years, the mobility issues are there, and we want to be able to accommodate that.
With three organizations all being supported so well by this concert, about how many people you need to get there in order to make it? You know, you're splitting the money. I mean, you don't want to pack the place, but you know, you got to run the numbers. I mean, you need people to get there and come out and see this show.
Well, we'd certainly like to hope to get at least 300 people in the door. You know, if everybody's paying $21 a piece and, you know, each of us get $7, that'll work out very nicely.
So one way to us, by simply going to the concert, and it's Valentine's Day, you know, so it's a, you know, you want to go out anyways, you know, Calumet's a great place to be because you can catch, you can get dinner out in Calumet, you can catch the show, and then if you're in the mood, you can grab cocktails at night because Calumet just has all of that. That's why I love living there. And so by going to this one show, you'll be supporting three great local organizations all equally and at the same time. And normally, you know, for a concert like this, you'd be splitting the money with the performer or paying the performer a fee to come in and be there, and it'd be a lot less money being divided up. So it's really a great thing that they're doing in making sure that everybody else gets supported.
Oh, definitely. Yes, definitely. And, you know, I just want to mention to folks that we have two options. You know, you can pay $21 and just come and see a great concert, or you can pay $30. One of the things that we have also, each of the organizations have Scott Helmer CDs. And, of course, we have Lift Us Up Theater support buttons. So if you wanted to do the $30 option, and again, $10 for each organization, which is a nice boost for all of us. But for that $30, not only do you get a great seat for a nice concert, but you also get the CD and the Lift Us Up elevator button. So we would like to encourage people to think about the $30 donation as well.
Okay. And are there any other, you know, benefits or levels there to...
We are going to offer a door prize. The Calumet Theater has thrown in a nice door prize, two tickets to any concert of your choice as the door prize, and we'll be pulling the winning ticket for that sometime during the show. And, of course, we've got a couple of headliners coming up, Lori Morgan and Lee Greenwood, so we'd like to hope that people would come spend $21 just to get a chance to win one of those set of tickets.
You have Lori Morgan coming?
We have Lori Morgan coming on April the 15th.
I'm an old country music fan, and it's not really age appropriate for me because it'd be music my dad listened to. But yeah, I like Lori Morgan. Something in Red? If I remember the tunes, I have to dig those out now because I used to have a Lori Morgan Greatest Hits a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely a lot of great shows. The Calumet Theater also, if you you have ways to, you can just become a member and help sponsor, you know, not only a project like this, but other things you have going on.
That's true. I don't know if the other two organizations have memberships, but the Calumet Theater's base is a membership support. And we have about 600 businesses and individuals that support the Calumet Theater. And without that membership base, we wouldn't have our doors open. That's really where our support comes from, is membership and fundraising activities as well.
Rebecca, I want to come back to you because, you know, the Calumet Theater is, you know, of course, a great thing to support. It's visual. We all like going to seeing shows there. Mm-hmm. You know, who doesn't love dogs and cats and supporting an organization that, you know, takes care of them and the Humane Society? Dial Help deals with, a lot of times, life and death situations.
That's correct.
Are you able to measure, I guess, just the impact that you make in the area as far as, you know, do you follow statistics, you know, whether they're suicide rates or drug prevention, and see sort of the effect that you have?
Well, I know that our most recent statistic is that about 10% of our calls are related to suicide. Last month, we did about 50 suicide assessments to try to, as we're talking to people or instant messaging, we're trying to gauge the level of risk so we know what level of intervention we have to provide for that person to keep them safe. I think it's reasonable to say that, you know, we save somebody's life every week, if not multiple, you know, so you're right. Actually, we are dealing with life and death issues. I even cover the crisis line myself, you know, when we're in budget things, I'll come in on a Sunday, and I've personally this year, I know someone was going to complete suicide if I hadn't been there, and so are my coworkers. And so we really do deal with some pretty serious issues. And of course, it's not something that people want to think about or really want to talk about. There's a lot of stigma to it. And so I think that's why funding is important, because sometimes, like, you know, we're dealing with people who've been sexually assaulted, and we're dealing with people who maybe have a lot of history of substance abuse, kind of issues I think that people would rather just kind of pretend don't exist in the community. And yet, individuals are suffering, their families are suffering. So, you know, the thing about having like a Dial Help or a crisis line is that, especially in rural communities like the UP, there's a lot of geographic isolation. There's a lot of poverty. So, you know, and also the mental health services are being cut. The funding's being cut left and right, too. So we're here 24 hours a day. We're accessible different ways through the phone or computer. So I think we're kind of like a safety net, I think, for a lot of people. And even though it flies under the radar, we see every single day, you know, that people really were on the sort of like at the edge of their life, and we're able to not only get through that moment, but we do it. Like, for example, we started in the last couple of years a follow-up program. So if someone is struggling, what we do is we recontact them. That was something kind of new in the industry in general. So we will keep recontacting them, provide them more support. We also give out tons of resources across the UP. We have about 1,200 resources in our database. And so what those core issues were that people called about initially, whether it's financial issues or they need some therapy or whatever it is, we try to kind of stay with them until those things are in place. So not just in that moment that they're out of crisis, but they have some supports now in the community that are maybe going to make a difference long term. So.
Well, I have a lot of admiration for you folks over there, because I can come to work and have a bad day. You know, I can be a little off, you know, and I can, you know, I record a lot of things that I air and I can edit it, or I can be in a bad mood that day and just not talk to as many people. You don't have that luxury when you go to Dial Help. And if you're answering those phones, you got to be on your A game each and every day when you pick up that
Absolutely.
Phone.
Absolutely.
And you need phones at work.
I mean, phones at work.
So definitely you need that. Roger, we're going to come back to you for the last bit here, because You had talked about something you wanted to come back to, and I also wanted, if you want to talk about how other people can get involved if they can't see the concert but still want to support.
I just want to make people aware that we really work hard to reunite animals with their families, and to check Facebook and to look at our website and find ways to contact us if you know somebody that lost an animal, especially cats, something people don't typically look for. We do make sure that they have a safe place to be as well, and we just really want to make sure that people are aware of that out in the community. And if you aren't able to make it to the concert, we will have opportunities to come to the shelter on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday when our open hours. Check the website for those hours. Also, we'll have some activities starting up here in the summer related in particular our bash, which you're a big supporter of coming out and doing a live radio show, which is going to be in the middle of July.
And you have more than dogs and cats there.
Occasionally, we have a variety of other animals that do show up there. It's all about animal welfare, and it can be chickens and rabbits, and keep an eye on horses or whatever. Not horses there physically, but certainly looking at animal welfare overall.
Right. Well, thanks so much to all three of you. I want to remind our listeners that the Scott Helmer concert is tonight at the Calumet Theater. The showtime is what time, Laura?
7:30.
And will you be able to call today for tickets or just come before the concert?
The theater should be open at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay. All right. Head on down there. Make it a date for Valentine's Day or come by yourself and treat yourself to a great show and support three great causes. Rebecca, Laura, and Roger, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.